You're listening to the Asking for a Friend podcast, an elder-led ministry of Believers Baptist Church in Emory, Texas. The Asking for a Friend podcast exists as a weekly resource for the edification and knowledge of God's people. My name is Tyler Jones. I'm your host. Thanks for listening in, whoever you may be and wherever you may be. May the Lord bless this podcast to you as a means of grace for your spiritual growth. On the podcast today is Jason Rowland, senior pastor and one of the elders of Believers Baptist Church, and another of the elders, Philip Castleton. And we've got a question here that I think is very important in the life of local churches, especially looking just not in particularly at ours, but just local churches like ours that are small town churches where everybody knows everybody and everybody knows everything about everybody, right? So the question is, how does a Christian understand gossip? And Jason, we're going to go to you first with this, since you're probably the most gossipful person out of all three of us here.
Wow. No. Yeah, what a good way to start a podcast. You're gossiping about me. Well, let's think about this because it is very serious, even though we make a joke about it. And it's serious because it is a respectable sin or an acceptable sin in our eyes. Mm-hmm. It's a respectable sin as opposed to murder, adultery. Most Christians are going to avoid those type of sins. Mm-hmm. But gossip or even gluttony, slander, which is really the same as gossip, those sins have become acceptable in Christian circles. You can do those because you can disguise gossip under a prayer request or with concern or intention to help someone. Mm-hmm. But what we've got to realize is that the tongue has tremendous power for good and evil. And we can see that particularly in Proverbs. As we read Proverbs, it talks a lot about what we say and using our mouth and speaking with our tongue, the words that we would speak. And so we've got to be guarded in everything that we say. We've got to be careful in everything that we say. And I think about James chapter 1, verse 26. It says, if anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. So I take that to be, if we're not careful and guarded with what we speak, and the Bible, I think, speaks clearly, by the way, of how we ought to speak, and we'll talk about that. But if we're not careful and guarded, then whatever religion we seem to put out would be actually worthless. Let me read some Proverbs to you, because Proverbs speaks so much about gossip, and again, the sister sin to gossip is slander. Gossip is defined as information about behavior, about the behavior or the personal life of another person that is often without the full truth or without the full facts being known. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean that it couldn't be the complete truth either. Sometimes you could know the truth about someone, speak only the truth about someone, but speak it to someone in a way which it doesn't edify the person that you're talking about.
Right.
In which case, it was unneeded.
Right. 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 And I think that gossip has the ability to destroy a person's marriage, to destroy a person's life, their job,
their soul,
their reputation. So Proverbs chapter 6, beginning in verse 16. There are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brothers. A false witness is a gossip, a slanderer, a gossip, a one who sows discord among brothers is a gossip.
Right.
I think about Proverbs chapter 11, verse 13. Whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy in spirit keeps a thing covered. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 28. And there's so many of these, we won't have time to read all of them, obviously. But I just want to point out how clear the Scripture speaks to this issue. Proverbs 16, 28. A dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisperer separates close friends. Let me do one other. Chapter 18 of Proverbs, verse 8. The words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. They go down into the inner parts of the body. So I think that it's very clear, and some there are other texts that would speak to this as well, that actually categorize gossip in the same categories as idolatry or disobedience to parents or lovers of self. I think that there are texts that speak to that in the New Testament very specifically, and I thought that you had one of those that we talked about prior, Philip, in Second Timothy.
Yeah, well, I've got there's one in First Timothy.
Okay, First Timothy,
and you're talking about that speaks to positive, applications, actually in First Timothy, it's the one that talks about widows. Where widows are often accused of being such. But actually, one that's positive would be in Ephesians chapter 4.
Verse 29,
I think.
That's the text that is explicitly telling us how to speak.
Yes, let no corrupt talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up, as it's the occasion that it may give grace to those who hear. You know, you have the one in Colossians that says, let your speech be with salt. Right? Seasoned with salt. I mean, the point that Scripture makes positively about our speech is that it's meant to be something that edifies and builds up. But in Romans 1, it is specifically one that ties gossip and slander to idolatry. In Romans 1, and it is in verse 29. But if you go back, the whole argument in Romans 1 is that men suppress truth with unrighteous behavior. They know what's true about God, but they don't care. They don't want God. They don't want God's controlling hand. They don't want God's controlling presence in their life. So what they do, they take what they know is true about God and they suppress it. They hold it down. It's like trying to drown someone in 2 inches of water. I mean, their head keeps popping up and they keep pushing it back down. They can't do anything about the truth. They know it's there. But one of the, and ultimately this plays out, their God acts in an act of judgment against them. He says, if that's what you want, I will give you what you want. I will turn you over to your sin and to yourself. And one of the sins that's listed there as an act of judgment against men is gossip and slander. Look at verse 29. Well, verse 28. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips and slanderers, described as haters of God. Gossip and slander are two sins that are indicative of God's judgment on man, because they worship themselves instead of God.
And the text that I was thinking about earlier is in 2 Timothy.
Okay.
Hear these words, but understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, and swollen with conceit.
Right.
So what we're saying is that gossip, though we might think it's some respectable sin, and it's okay because we can disguise it under, again, the guise of prayer request or concern, really the Word of God puts it in a very derogatory kind of category.
Right.
and the consequences of it are so heinous. I think that's the point, isn't it?
Well, and that's why I said a minute ago that, you know, your very soul's at stake. Mm-hmm. If your life is marked by the tearing down of man instead of the building up of man, there's no evidence that you belong to Christ. You know, James, I think it's James, or no, it's it maybe in Peter. I'm lost at the moment into where it's found, but he says, how can you build up God with you know, with in one side of your mouth and put down man?
That is James.
Yeah, in James. Put down man out of the other side of your mouth, in essence. You know, don't you realize that they're created in the image of God? You know, you shouldn't be talking like that, brothers. You know, he says, you know, we can't think that we honor God with our mouths on a Sunday morning, and then talk about our neighbor on Monday with the same mouth, and that it actually meant anything on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The fact is the Bible repeatedly says that the mouth ultimately is a reflection of what is in the heart. The mouth speaks out of the overflow of the heart. So what is in abundance inside makes its way out. If you're marked by slanderous speech, the tearing down, even if it's true, even if I know something about you, Tyler, that is absolutely true, and I share it with somebody, and it's not edifying to you, not for your good, not for the betterment, not for confronting you in your sin, maybe you've committed a sin, mm-hmm. right? And there's a room and there's a place and there's an application for where I might share that with somebody so that we could confront you in your sin, because we want to build you up.
There's
a
text that talks about that.
There is. But if the motive of my heart, and I don't even get to be the judge there, I need to decide immediately, if this isn't for the building up, I probably don't need to talk about it. It needs to stay in my mind alone. It doesn't matter if it's true. That can't be the only qualifying factor.
Mm-hmm. Right. So I think what we're saying is, number one, we need to realize the seriousness of what gossip is.
Yes.
And number two, we're saying that we need to think rightly, in the sense, number one, that Jesus says in Matthew 12:36, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word they speak. Mm-hmm. So we need to be mindful of that. And then secondly, what you just brought up, Tyler, the Matthew 18 text, beginning in verse 15, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. So that whole text there that talks about how to confront and encourage and come alongside a sinning brother, it's not that you see this sin that this brother is committing, and now you go immediately and tell it to someone else.
No, it's for edification. My goal is to see you to repent of your sin, turn, and be restored to fellowship with Christ and to the body of believers. Mm-hmm. But before I even go to Jason and tell him of the sin that I know that you're involved in, I am supposed to deal with you first. Mm-hmm. If you then remain in your sin, that's when I go to Jason. Not so that he will think less of you, but so that he will come along beside me in a restorative effort. Mm-hmm. To bring you back to Christ and to the body. That's what the goal is. It is never so that I can bring you down. Mm-hmm. The goal in the body is always to edify.
Mm-hmm. Which is, I think, you hit on something there, Philip. I think the motive that we have deep down in our sin nature to tell someone else about somebody else's sin is so we can build ourselves up. No. We elevate mm-hmm. our own righteousness. Mm-hmm. And we're saying,
well,
look,
that's
how
exactly
bad this one
why
is.
It's called idolatry in Romans 1.
Sure.
Right.
Because the hidden motive is always to elevate self, if the creation over the creator, right?
Right.
If I can look at you, see you as created in the image of God, I can honor you because I honor God. Mm-hmm. That's putting God in his rightful place. When I degrade you, I elevate myself. That's establishing the creation, over the creator and those created in his image. Mm-hmm. And the Bible is explicit. I should always think of my neighbor better than myself. Mm-hmm. I should always consider him before myself. That is never, there's no qualifying scripture to qualify that. There's never a situation to where I'm not supposed to consider my brother more important than myself. So if that's the case, that should be portrayed, that should be portrayed in my speech as well.
Right. Mm-hmm. And if we can somehow disguise our gossip in a covering of concern or prayer request, then how much more does it elevate our righteousness?
Yeah.
You know how righteous I'm being at this moment? Because I'm telling you about Philip's sin. Mm-hmm. And it just creates, again, that idolatry within our heart.
And one of the things that lends itself to that is idleness. And that's what
the warning is in Timothy.
Yes. He's talking to widows. They got nothing better to do, right? Mm-hmm. But be busybodies. And he's telling them no. In fact, he goes on to say that younger women probably need to go ahead and get married, have children, and take care of their homes. That way they've got something better to do with their time than worry about what their neighbor's doing. Right. I mean, really, that's what the text is teaching, right?
Right.
The point is idleness is, you know, it's always been said, idleness is the devil's playground or something. But it's true. You know, if I were more consumed with understanding who God is and trying to love him with my mind, I'd have less time to worry about, you know, how you don't live up to my expectations, Tyler, mm-hmm. and how I should tell everybody that you don't live up to those.
Yeah. Right.
You know?
And without giving Satan, you know, some excuse or blaming Satan, I should say.
Undue credit
to say, well, you know, this is a tool. It is a tool of Satan. Gossip
sure.
is, slander is, because it causes division, which is what he thrives on, what he intends to do, causing the division. I would go so far as to say that in Genesis chapter 3, we see gossip because Satan comes to Eve and says, mm-hmm. did God really say that?
Yeah. Well, not only that, Satan himself, it's funny because in John, you know, specifically it says, if you were my children, you would do what your father does, right? You'd look like your father. First John does the same thing, right?
Right.
The evidence that you belong to Christ is that you look like your father. The evidence that you look like Satan is that you do what your father Satan does, and he is the slanderer.
Right. He's the liar from the beginning.
He is the liar. He is the slanderer. He is the gossip, exactly.
He's the adversary.
The fact that you're marked by that, that's something that marks you. It should be a flag that goes up in your mind right now that says, I need a turn.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's be quick to say this as we try to wrap up this podcast. The first thing is we're all guilty.
Mm-hmm.
We are all guilty, and it's all a sin that we continually have to be aware of and think about rightly.
Mm-hmm.
I think we all have to think, okay, is this helpful? For what reason am I telling this third person about the issues of my friend?
Mm-hmm.
Why? What would be accomplished there? We have to constantly be thinking about there. The propensity for idolatry is continuous. Even though we have a changed nature and the Spirit of God does indwell us, the propensity to elevate self and to make ourselves be more righteous and to put ourselves on the pedestal of idolatry is so consistent in us. So we have to stop and we have to think. I think rather than when somebody in confidence comes to you or you're aware of some situation, the immediate response for us tends to be, who can I go call? Who can I post on, you know, message on Facebook? Where can I post this? What can I say to make myself look good? Probably the Christian response would be, number one, to pray about this.
Mm-hmm. If we're going to talk to someone, why not God first?
Right.
Right? And then if we're going to err, why don't we err on the side of silence mm-hmm. versus if I'm not sure whether this is edifying or destructive, if I'm not sure or I'm not clear on my motives or whatever the case may be, why not err, if there's an error to be made here, on the side of silence?
Right.
That would be, I think, prudent.
Right. Mm-hmm. I would also say that we don't always have to be in a hurry. I mean, when we are in our greatest hurry is when we make our greatest mistakes. So just because I find out some information or some information comes to me in whatever format or means it comes, doesn't mean that I immediately have to turn around and dispense that out somewhere. Mm-hmm. And so if I stop and I pause and I think about this and perhaps give it time and give it space, then I think that would be prudent and wise for us to do that.
Mm-hmm. So I think, culturally, you talked about how in the beginning you were saying how this is a kind of culturally, it's an acceptable thing to do. We see it on TV with, housewives of all these different cities, you know, I mean, all they do, the whole show is it's a gossip show, right? So because of this and because maybe, of other reasons that you might stereotype, a lot of people might consider this a podcast aimed at women, but I think that this is, like you just mentioned, that this is something that we all struggle with. I would kind of like to open it up to you guys to maybe just give an example of what somebody, for instance, a lot of people in our church listen to this podcast. Okay, well, what is a male from Raines County gossip about? You know, what is an example that he might not even be aware that he's gossiping about?
Well, I got a call last night, and I was talking with this person, and this person says they're looking for a pastor at their church. And this person says, well, you know, so-and-so came in to the church at a meeting and said, well, you don't want to look for a man who believes this. And my immediate reaction is, well, man, that is awful. I can't believe he would say that. I've been a friend with this man for 30 years. And my reaction is, I can't believe he would say that. Mm-hmm. So I tell the person on the other end of the phone, well, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt right now because I don't know what he's thinking. Mm-hmm. And I left it at that. So I'm saying that wasn't necessarily Raines County,
sure.
But I think that in the context of church
rural
life,
Texas and local churches and that kind of thing, that's right. Kind of more what I meant, you know. I mean, right. I think people from our church would relate to a lot of different rural areas in the United States, you know what I mean?
Right.
But yeah, I see what you're saying there.
Yeah. So even this morning, I'm at the gym, and so I get off the elliptical, and somebody comes up to me, talks with me, and tells me something, quite frankly, I didn't know. It wasn't a gossip. It was something on themselves. But my first reaction was to go home when Stacy's out of school today, it's President's Day, and say, Stacy, you won't believe this, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
No, I mean, this is a person that lives in Raines County. They're not a member of our congregation, but they told this to me, and they're like, there's only like a few people that know this about me, you know? And my thought was, man, I need to tell Stacy this, you know?
I got 14 toes on my left foot.
Yeah.
No, but, that's how I run this treadmill so fast.
But this person was sincere, and it's, you know, it's an issue in his life, and we, you know, I'm not condemning him. I'm condemning my first reaction.
Mm, sure.
I need to go tell my wife.
Yeah.
You know, and I didn't. But I think, you know, when it comes to the school district, mm-hmm. when it comes mm-hmm. to the latest kind of information concerning the government, the city government I'm talking about,
mm-hmm.
Those who are in office and those who help keep us safe and enforce the law, those kinds of things, those things tend to be, I think, what men would talk about. And mm-hmm. this podcast is certainly not aimed just at women,
mm-hmm.
though.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad that you brought that point up.
And when I was talking about widows a minute ago, I was just using an example
from the text, yeah.
But that makes the point not so much about widows, but about idleness.
Sure. Yeah.
When our minds aren't occupied with something constructive, mm-hmm. they will find something destructive to do.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because
male or female
entropy, sure. You know, we are fallen, and our minds are fallen, and, mm-hmm. and if we're not constantly putting in God's word, then we will. You know, we will. It will naturally degrade and decline. Mm-hmm. And so, I think that's the warning that Paul has given. It could be to widowers as well as widows in that sense. Mm-hmm. We need to have our minds occupied with the things of God, and that way, my concern isn't Tyler's negative, it would be, how can I build Tyler up?
Yeah. I think you look at when that was written, and culturally, women didn't work as much as men, right? So it's just an example of how...
Outside the home, Tyler, men work. Women work just as much.
Sure.
See, there you go. Yeah. There you go, Tyler.
Stereotype.
Okay. I might should just be quiet here.
Yes.
I started this off on the wrong foot, you know, accusing Jason of being a gossiper, and then he admitted it. And so, no, I'm kidding.
No, I am.
I felt bad about
it. I think culture has a huge part to do with that situation, but it doesn't change, especially now, where at least back then, you know, the widow didn't have a can and a string, you know, so she could talk to her neighbor. She had to get up and walk across the street. Now, with social media and all the stuff that...
it's too easy.
Oh, it's so easy. Yeah. And I think it becomes, even if you're not indulging in the speaking, so many people get on Facebook just to see what other people are gossiping about. And I believe that... the consumption of that is just as evil as the
speaking.
It is,
yeah.
And that's what we need to remember, that there's something awry in me I get pleasure out of seeing what other people are saying about other people. So it's not just that I said it, but I'm consuming that garbage. Mm-hmm. I don't have to cook the trash in the trash can. I'm just eating it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what a lot of people are doing. And unfortunately, I think you can make a biblical argument that that is exposing their heart for what it is.
Mm-hmm. So practically, we're just trying to think about how do you deal with it, because I think that's a little bit of the reason for the question. Because within church life, there is the temptation to say things that might not be helpful, that won't be helpful to the person, or at least they won't be a solution to the problem. You know, and we can say things under, again, the idea of prayer and concern. And I think, you know, I don't know what the balance is with that all the time. I think you have to think, that does it hurt the other person? Does it bring reproach upon them? Have you prayed?
Mm-hmm.
By your speaking this to a third person, is it conducive, or is it in any way helping the problem? Is it a solution rather than just continuing to progress the problem or aggravate or even exasperate the problem?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think those are just ways to think about it. Mm-hmm. Stop and think. Be patient. Pray for grace.
Examine
go to God,
your heart.
Examine your own heart. What are your motives? I don't know that anybody could just give a 1, 2, 3, this is what I do, because I don't think...
Well, and I think because it's culturally acceptable somewhat, it's something that most of us in this culture don't hold highly as something that's highly negative, you know what I mean? It's something that you don't think, man, I better not do that, you know what I mean? Because when you think about killing somebody, that's a lot different, you know, because nobody in our culture really thinks that that's a good thing, you know?
You know, it's funny that you say that, because like you said a minute ago about the television, right, the Housewives show or whatever, there are shows like Entertainment Tonight or TMZ, or, you know, there's these shows that are strictly about entertaining us, which are nothing but gossip mills and rumor mills. That's exactly what they are, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we find pleasure in all of that. But there's it's funny that you say that. If they were shows where they were actually the host was going out with a gun and shooting the celebrity, we would all be at a gasp, right?
Yeah.
But the truth of the matter is, they are killing those celebrities with their gossip in their heart, and we laugh at it and we find it entertaining, and that says there's something wrong with our hearts.
Sure, yeah, we just have to be very careful the way we. The way that culture views things is not necessarily how a Christian should view it, right?
Right. I think, too, just to end this, it's going to be very difficult for you if you are trying to be mindful of not being a gossip. For if someone comes to you and begins to speak something about another person, for you to be able to walk away from that conversation, or for you to be able to say, I'm not going to listen to this. But, and I don't know how to tell you to do that. Mm-hmm. I think that every person has to realize we've got to have a spiritual courage, if you will, to mm-hmm. say, I can't involve myself in this. Or at least say, well, have you gone to that person yourself?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At least be able to say, well, have you prayed about that yourself? Because I'm not involving myself with that right now. I don't, you know, mm-hmm. those kinds of comments. I don't know. But you said it just a moment ago about listening being just as bad. Listen to Proverbs 17:4. An evildoer listens to wicked lips, and a liar gives ear to a mischievous tongue. Just to reiterate, mm-hmm. listening is as guilty as if you were actually doing the talking. Mm-hmm. So let's wrap it up with what you read earlier. This is how we ought to speak. Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. So God, help us to speak what is right. God, help us to speak what is helpful. God, help us to speak what would be building up of the other person.
And extend the grace that's been extended to us.
Yes. Thanks for listening to the Asking for a Friend podcast. If what you've heard today has been helpful to you, please subscribe. On behalf of the elders of BBC, I invite you to a worship service at Believers Baptist Church this coming Sunday. The Bible study hour begins at 9:15 and the worship service begins at 10:30. Grace and peace.